This world can certainly crowd out what's important. I know I feel at times that I maybe haven't been studying as much as I should, or especially praying like I would like. Praying like I would like. And so it kind of leaves me with a sense of dissatisfaction, I guess is the word, with my prayer life. And a lot of times I think it comes down to re-examining the motivations for praying. What kind of motivations should we have for praying? And maybe when we look at those, then we will kind of be strengthened and encouraged to make sure we find that time to pray. In Psalm 37, verse 4, the psalmist uses a phrase that will kind of be our phrase for this morning's lesson. Psalm 37, verse 4, it's considered to be a psalm of David. Here's what he says. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. What should the desires of our heart be? The desires of our heart will certainly be those things that we consider are important. Things that will motivate us to delight in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to go to the Lord. So what are some of those desires of our heart? What should be our greatest desire in our prayers? What should be the greatest desire of our prayers? This list certainly isn't original by me by any means, but I hope that if you're like me, this will help you be a little more strongly motivated to have the kind of prayer life that you really, really want. The first one is a desire for God to be glorified, and I think it's the most important. A desire for God to be glorified. In the book of Daniel, Daniel prays, and this is toward the end of the 70 years of captivity. Remember that the southern kingdom has been in captivity in Babylon for nearly 70 years at this time. So what does Daniel do? He turns to God in prayer, and in this prayer, he longs for God to be glorified, for His name to be glorified. And I would encourage you to see why he does that. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 3 and following. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 3. Now remember, that nation, the southern kingdom, has been in captivity for nearly 70 years when this is happening, when Daniel prays. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments. Now, verses 18 and 19. O my God, incline Your ear and hear. Open Your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by Your name. For we do not present our supplications before You because of our righteous deeds, but because of Your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for Your own sake, my God, for Your city and Your people are called by Your name. Now, when we kind of put all that together, what's Daniel saying? Well, the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonian army. The gates, the walls had been destroyed. God's people had been taken into captivity. Daniel is saying, please We pray, Father, that you will bring us back, that you'll take us back to your city, that your city will be rebuilt, that your people will be rebuilt. Why? So that your name would be glorified. Not because we've done anything great, but so that your name will be glorified. I really think that's maybe the most important motivation for praying, is so that God will be glorified. Isn't that what the following means when Jesus gave the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9? He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." When something is hallowed, it's kind of set aside. It's treated with honor. So Jesus is saying in that prayer in Matthew 6, says, "Father, we pray that your name be treated with great honor." So in our prayers, that certainly needs to be a great motivation for us to pray, is so that God's name be glorified, that His name be honored. And I think it's perfectly fine for us to use that exact phrase, "Hallowed be your name." God's name is not very hallowed anymore in the world, not even in our country. But we should pray that it is. And that should motivate us to pray. I try and remember to do that. Sometimes I forget. Have you ever forgotten anything? I forget stuff all the time. But that's something we should remember, to pray that God's name be glorified. And when we pray, we do that. We're glorifying God. We're glorifying His name. And I think that's a tremendous motivation. That should be one of those desires of our heart that David talked about, that God's name be glorified. The second one, the second motivation, the second desire of our heart is a desire for fellowship with God. This seems so obvious, but prayer, when we pray, we're in a special fellowship with the Father. It's a very special time. It's a special occasion. Many ways unique to any other occasion, because I'm directly communicating, I'm directly talking with God. I'm directly talking to Him. I can go to Him and talk to Him, and I know He listens. In Psalm 63, the psalmist leaves us with some words that are worthwhile for us to consider. Psalm 63, and we'll begin in verse 1. This is also considered to be a psalm of David. Psalm 63. Notice what David longs for. Notice what a desire of David's heart is. Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." What's he doing? He's earnestly seeking for God's presence, because he's in a dry and thirsty land, not dry and thirsty physically, but spiritually. We live in a very dry and thirsty land spiritually. That's what America is. It's very dry and thirsty. David says, "You're my God, and early will I seek you." I'm going to begin seeking you at the beginning of the day, and I'm going to do it earnestly because I want to be in your presence. See, prayer is a unique time. It's unique to other times in our life. And I think we need to focus on that. And that should be a desire of our heart, to be in fellowship with Him, to be in His presence in a very special way. In Psalm 27, go back a few pages, the psalmist has some encouraging words for us as well. This is also considered to be a psalm of David. Psalm 27, notice verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. See, to be in fellowship with Him, to be in His presence. To be in His presence. We need to be like Psalm 42 talks about. Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See the analogy. When you're thirsty, you go drink water. That same longing, that same thirst, type of thirst, needs to characterize us going to God in prayer. And sometimes I have a hard time with that. And maybe it's because I'm not thirsting and longing after God like I need to. Because I want to be in His presence in a way that only prayer allows me to be. I want to be in that fellowship with Him in a way that prayer only allows me to be. And maybe things are not right in our lives or with other people because those aren't the desires of our heart like they should be. I wonder if that might be the cause. But he says, long to be in God's presence, because that's what you're doing when you pray. You are being in His presence. And we think about it like that, then what's going to stop us from praying? Nothing. Because that desire will be so strong that we won't allow anything. We won't allow anything of the world to get in the way of us being in God's presence. That's how important it is. Another desire of our heart is a desire for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Ask in faith, but what's the context? Asking for wisdom. I don't think he's asking for miraculous wisdom. He's asking for wisdom. He's asking for the ability to discern, make good judgments, tell what is the right path and what's the wrong path. This is similar to what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. I think that would certainly fit into the context of James 1, verse 5. Matthew 6, 13. This is also in that model prayer. Jesus says, pray like this, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And again, I don't think he's asking for anything miraculous. He's asking for discernment. He's asking for wisdom. He's asking for being able to judge, being able to tell which path to choose. Which path to choose? This is a prayer for spiritual discernment. So a desire of my heart should be to turn to God for guidance, for insight, for that ability to make good decisions. And I'll ask you, when was the last time you prayed for that specifically? For that specifically. For discernment, for good judgment, for wisdom, for choosing the right way, making good decisions. See, that's something the Bible tells us we can and should pray for. It should be a desire of our heart, though. It should be something we greatly desire, like David did. Desire those things. Another motivation should be a desire to offer thanks. How often do we go to God and not thank Him for any number of things? I know sometimes I'm not the most thankful person. I was thinking just a while ago about one thing I was thankful for. It was while David was singing, leading singing. And I am thankful for this sometimes. I remember to be thankful for it. I'm always thankful for it. I just don't always remember to thank God for it. And that is, I'm thankful that David is able to have closer jobs so that he's not away so much. That's a very legitimate thing, desire, to pray for. Because that's helpful. I think it's helpful to him, but it's definitely helpful to us. Some of those small things that we think are small are things that we should be very, very thankful for. He wants us to be a thankful people. He wants us to be a thankful people. And we quite often just pray for the same things that we're thankful for, which we should. We should pray for, you know, for the physical blessings we have each day, like food and clothing. And that's important. And we should never forget to pray for those things. But the list of things we should be thankful for is much, much greater than that. You know, a lot of these things should cause us to kind of think about, long about, what we're thankful for. And not just kind of think about the top two or three and end it there. We need to go much deeper than that. David was a very prayerful person. In 1 Chronicles 29, King David has a prayer. Some things he's thankful for. 1 Chronicles 29. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. David is in the assembly. Beginning in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 29. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." We thank you. David was thankful. That's not just an Old Testament concept. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul, when he is writing to the church there at Ephesus, tells them in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5 that they're to be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things, even small things. Even what we might consider insignificant things. But this means that we take time out of our day to consider a number of things. Maybe things we don't usually think about, but that without them, our life or other people's lives would be much worse off. Think about some of those type of things that maybe we have and maybe we've had for a long time, but if they were taken away, we would suffer, our family would suffer, the church would suffer, some of those type of things we should think about and then offer thanks for. You know, we are, and think about all the times Paul prayed to God that he was thankful for certain people. He was thankful for them. He was always thanking God for people. People that had came into his life, people that were serving God, people that were teaching and preaching the word, people that were supporting him. He was constantly thankful for people. Well, if Paul said that was a desire of his heart, that should be a desire of our heart as well, to be thankful for various people. Be thankful. Another desire of our heart should be a desire for freedom from the guilt of sin. Back in Psalm 32, David prays for this very thing. Psalm 32, beginning in verse 1. A desire of David's heart that motivated him to pray was a desire for freedom from the guilt of sin. Verse 1, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. See how thankful he was? Because he desired that freedom from sin's guilt. We all do wrong, and a great motivation, a great desire of our heart should be that freedom from guilt. That freedom from guilt. And an incredible motivation for prayer. Another prayer, one that we've talked about a lot the past few months, is a desire for the salvation of the lost. Because the lost are all around us. They are everywhere. They cross our paths every day. Paul told Timothy that he needed to pray for kings and rulers. Why? So that we could have peace. But especially peace to worship. We need to pray for all kinds. We need to pray that people will repent. Remember 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not slack concerning His promises, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A desire of our heart should be like Paul in Romans 10:1. You know, my heart's desire for Israel is that they may be saved. That should be a great desire of our heart, a great motivation for prayer, is praying for the lost, because the world is filled with them. We see them every day. Again, they cross our paths every day. Everywhere we look, we see those who are lost. And the final motivation, certainly not all that we could talk about, but that's a desire for the growth of believers. Think about the last time, and maybe you prayed that today or yesterday, the last time you prayed for a specific individual, a specific Christian, that they would grow in their faith, that they would grow stronger, that they would mature in the faith, that they would be more spiritually strong. When was the last time you prayed for that? That needs to be a desire of our heart. Or maybe you prayed for the whole congregation to be stronger in the faith, more committed, more zealous. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul does this. Paul prays for those Christians. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, this is what he prays for. Paul says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was one of the desires of Paul's heart. Also, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Look at all the things Paul was praying for in those verses. And it all had to do with the growth of believers. He was praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will, that they would walk worthy of the Lord, that they would fully please the Lord, that they would be fruitful in every good work, and again, that they would increase in the knowledge of God. He prayed that they would be strengthened with all might. All of those are prayers for believers. This needs to be a desire of our heart. Part of our prayers should be devoted to praying for believers, that they would grow stronger, that they would be fruitful, that they would be greater servants, greater disciples, more mature in the faith, discerners of right and wrong. When we think about all of these motivations, there will never be a time when we can't think of something to pray for. Because those should all be desires of our heart. Reasons for us to pray. These are found throughout our Bible. And I really believe the more we study God's Word, the more we'll pray. Because the more we study God's Word, the more motivations we find, the more desires of our heart that we will find, reasons to pray. I hope I've brought out two or three things this morning that you haven't thought about that you need to be praying for. I have to be constantly reminded. I do. And the only way I can be reminded is to read God's Word more and study it more so I can find those motivations and those desires for prayer. And that helps me tremendously. The more frequent I study, the more frequent I will pray. I hope you pray for this congregation every day. I hope you pray for its growth every day. I hope you pray that those who need to obey the gospel will do so. Those should be desires of our heart. When we give invitations, the desire is, if there are those who need to respond by being baptized or by asking for prayers of a congregation, those should be desires of our heart. And that is, we sing the words of the song, that we're focusing on that because that's our desire. That if someone needs to respond, they will respond. And that's our prayer this morning. If you do need to respond, we encourage you to come as David leads us in this song.